The three R's. Now, many of us know, especially the teachers and those who have grown up in a certain era, that the three R's in education are what?
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
That's right. I'm glad to hear you're all good students. Three R's Advent style, however, I'd like to invite us into a reflection very briefly today to move in between the oases of these wonderfully wafting notes that the choir is offering us, to look inward and see how we may be propelled outward by the readings and by the three R's of Advent. The first one is repent, and we are familiar with that. But as I was reflecting on the readings this week and wanted to share something with you, I was struck by a different insight, a different perspective that suggested itself to me. Often we think of repentance of sin, and we have done that today, and that is an important part of it. But something about this reading from John's Gospel suggested that there may be a different, more, I can't even call it a more fundamental, but an important aspect or dimension of repentance that we are invited into. Do you notice something about this reading that a question is asked of John? Who are you? Who are you? I believe that when we talk about repentance, we're talking at one level about trying to discern who we are and who we are not. Some of you may have seen or read or remember that it's a long time ago, but it's making a resurgence now, a play called Picnic, William Inge's play, Picnic, won the Pulitzer Prize in 1953. An interesting story that takes place in Kansas. A stranger, Hal, comes to town, and through the interchange and interwoven relationships, we find each and every character trying to discern their identity. There's that stranger who's trying to make a new start. There's the school teacher who is alone and afraid of a mundane life and an event, in a sense, in the end, asks this person to marry her, to take her away from her life. There's the beauty queen who's tired of being only regarded for what she looks like. There's the sister who lives in her shadow. Everyone is trying to find out who they are. And all of them are contending with the expectations that society, their role, and even themselves have placed on that particular identity. And when we come to the lesson, we see in John an invitation to us. It is like an embossed card being mailed to each of our hearts, I believe. For notice what we see here. John, first of all, defines his identity by whom he is not. He is not the Christ. He is not the prophet, the final prophet. He is not the one who has promised to come. He is not even worthy to untie the sandals of that one. But we do affirm who John is. John is the one who has come to prepare the way. John is the one who baptizes the baptism of repentance of sin. John is the one who introduces, as it were, the one who is to come, the Christ. John is that one. So here's a question that I would like to pose to you, and we take a moment to reflect on. You and I know that we are not our role, that we are not our job, we are not our car, we are not our clothes. So the question then, for each of us to define in a few moments of silent reflection, who are you not? And once you've had a chance to decide that, then who are you and what are you for? So take a few moments. Who are you not? And then who are you and what are you for? Let these questions linger in your heart and your life this week. The second R, so the first R is repentance. The second R is recruit. The readings also suggest that there is a recruitment undertaking that is taking place in our lives and in the life of those who would want to follow this Jesus, who would want to prepare for the coming, as it were. You look at the reading from Isaiah. You look at the reading also from the responsive reading, Mary's Magnificat, and we see something about this. But you know, another thought occurred to me this week. This seems to be a week generative of all kinds of new ideas. I can't promise that's always the case. dull old me at times. But something occurred to me about recruiting. When we think of recruiting, sometimes we think of the army or the armed services recruiting people into the army, or recruitment companies who go headhunters looking for executives or other people to come to a company. And recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. But what occurred to me is that it is not the companies or the system or the armed forces or anything that's actually doing the recruiting. That what is activating that recruitment are our passions, the things we love and value. Person perhaps being recruited into the armed forces is going for patriotic reasons, or because they need a job, or because they want to get away or find themselves, or they might have some desire to do something noble. When we go from one company to another, it's not that that company is recruiting us. There's something in us, in our ambition perhaps, or finding the right job that's activated. So the recruitment is much deeper. And I believe this is what is happening when we read in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." When we heard the choir sing just now and heard the reading about Mary, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." It is that same Spirit that fell on Isaiah that also overshadowed Mary and brought her to this place. But their hearts and that which they valued, that which they were disposed to, had to already been inclined, as it were, to the things of God. And it's the Spirit that activates that, that recruits that passion, recruits that desire, and empowers them to do these things. What we learn in Isaiah is that this God is a God who delivers. This God is a God of reversal. This God is a God who delights in that which is good and just. What is it that is said is a beautiful phrase in Hebrew. Ki ani Yahweh ohev mishpat. I, the Lord, love justice. This is the God whom Walter Brueggemann said, the God who delivers is the God who can disrupt any circumstance of social bondage and exploitation, overthrow ruthless orderings of public life, and authorize new circumstances of dancing freedom, of justice and of mercy. The verbs of deliverance refuse to accept or any given circumstance of oppression. This is the God who delivers. This is the God whose Spirit recruits you and me, recruits us as a community of faith, because our passions are meant to be inclined to the things of God. That is why Jesus used this particular reading in Luke 4 as his manifesto. And those who would follow Jesus are those who want to embrace into their life passion that which the Spirit will recruit for use in releasing it to mend and bless the world. So the reflective question I want to ask of us today is this: what great reversal is the Spirit of God recruiting you and me to participate in? What great reversal is the Spirit of God recruiting you and me to participate in? Let's ponder that. And the seeds of joy are found in such repentance and such recruitment. That is our third R: rejoice. Repent, recruit, rejoice. Paul says, rejoice always. Be with joy always. This is not some silly, superficial, don't worry, be happy. This recognizes that joy runs deep because of who is the source of the joy. The joy comes from God and the assurance that we will find our tears turned to laughter and joy, as the psalmist says. And so the invitation is to remember stories of our literature, stories of our faith, stories of our own lives, of that reversal, the reversal of sadness and suffering, in the midst of which joy is always resident and present. Joy is that steadying affirmation and disposition to life that reminds us of God's involvement, that contrary to all other evidence, we are not alone, as Barbara told the children, that we are supported, sustained, and propelled in directions of joy. This is the source of our joy, that God has come to us in Christ. Think, if you will, of Frodo Baggins in Lord of the Rings. When he awakes and Gandalf is standing over him, who he thought was dead, with a smile and a laughter that is infectious. And Frodo asks the question, for he has come back, Does this mean that all things bad are going to be remade? The resounding testimony of all of these passages and of the commitment of God to the world and to your life and mind is yes. In time, yes, they shall be remade. Think of Nelson Mandela emerging from that dungy cell after 27 years of imprisonment. The reversal and the joy resident together. The fall of the Berlin Wall as East Berliners and East Germans took hammers and fists and pounded against that wall, battering it down, and rejoined with their family with hugs of reunification. Think of your own life. What has God helped you to overcome? What reversal has God wrought in the story of your unique history? There is the joy, the seeds of the promise of the one who will never forsake us and join us to his eternal purpose for redeeming the world. The three R's of Advent, repent, disposes us to be recruited by the Spirit, and therein we find our joy. Amen.